21CL Radio. Welcome to Reflection Friday. Where your hosts, Michael Bohl, Jamie Willett, and Chris Carter reflect on educational technology issues of the day. So sit back, relax, and know that you don't have to think anymore, because we'll be doing that for you.
Welcome back to Reflection Friday, and I'm Chris Carter, and today I'm joined by Michael Bohl.
Great.
Michael, how are you doing?
Great, Chris. It's always nice to chat with you and feel reflective on a Friday.
Well, I like to reflect on a Friday. Unfortunately, I'm reflecting on an empty chair.
Really?
There's an empty chair here, and Jamie Willett is not here today.
She's not filling that empty chair, though, is she? Yes. What is she doing?
She's doing some kind of teaching stuff or something.
Yeah, she needs to get her act together. You know, she's new to a school.
And seriously.
She is just ditching us. It's reminding me of high school all over again.
I can understand that. I was in the same boat. Gals ditched me all the time in high school. I'm feeling a little hurt. You know, old memories are stirring. Old scars are beginning to be cut afresh. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jamie. But we're not here to talk about ditching.
True. So what are we here to talk about?
We're here to talk about good PD and what it looks like when you see it.
Yeah, and if it's bad, then people tend to ditch it, right?
Then you're free to ditch.
Yeah.
Because people will ditch it anyway, so you might as well say they're free to ditch it because, you know, there it is.
Absolutely. So what does it look like anyways? You want to go first or you want me to go first?
No, I want you to give this one a shot because, Michael, really, you were instrumental in setting up a fantastic PD program at school, at my school, still Concordia.
Oh, we're talking
about. And I'm sure you're going to be instrumental in kicking the can down the road a little bit more and doing some cool stuff there in Bangkok.
We'll see. If you're referring to our online PD program that worked on. I think I helped to maybe set up where you can put your stuff, but I'm not the one who did all the stuff. So that was everybody else, of course.
Well, no, but you created the digital space for it, and that's absolutely critical to completion. When you talk about good PD, this one thing you need is that digital space. You need time as well, but now I don't want to get into what I'm going to say. But you created a digital space. You gave a vision. You encouraged people, and it's become something really robust and exciting.
Oh, well, good. That was a lot of fun. Is that still at pd.concordiashanghai.org?
Yes, pd.concordiashanghai.org, yes.
If anybody wants to see it. So I think it's really hard to find good PD. While the tools and research and ideas are all over the place, I'm not sure presenters are able to take it fully advantage of them. So I think everybody who presents is certainly well-intentioned and generally cares, but do we reserve the time in advance to make sure that our presentation comes off well? Because you can do a really good presentation now with all the cool tools that are out there.
Well, you can, and you got to know just how to do a presentation. One of the things that gets me about a lot, I almost said most, and I'm not saying most because I'm being polite, but the truth is how many presentations will present in ways that you know and have been taught specifically not to do, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just really, oh, really, you know. Anyway.
So I came up with a list of do's and don'ts. Should I just start reading through them?
I like that.
That helped me.
Yeah, so the do, so and the don't.
So let's start with a negative. So don't talk a lot.
Nice.
Now
I'm in trouble already.
I did leave a caveat. Unless you're a gifted orator, of course, like you, or a stand-up comedian or something, people really don't want to hear you talk for more than a few minutes at a time. So try not like Ken Robinson got up and did no slides and just talked for 25 minutes or whatever for his famous TED Talk, and everybody loved it, including me. He's a gifted orator for whatever reason. I was trying to figure out why he was so good, but he just was, and so I just enjoyed it.
He has gravitas. It's that quality. He just gets your attention and holds it.
He doesn't. I didn't really know who he was before the talk, so it wasn't like I had a positive impression going in. But anyways, he was good. So anyways, don't be him unless you're him. So don't talk a lot.
Okay.
Don't use
Don't be Ken Robinson.
Don't be Ken unless you're Ken. Don't use slides that have lots of text on them. Try to go for the image. It's easier to do the text. It's hard to do the image. And maybe you could start with the text and switch to image. But people then read it and they get annoyed. And otherwise, if you have a nice photo, then they go, oh, that's what you're talking about, because they see a visual representation of your words that you're speaking.
That's it. Image is forever, yes.
And don't use too many images from Google Image Search, though. Because people know, a lot of people tend to know now that those images are kind of just grabbed off the web and you didn't spend much time. whenever possible, if you can throw in images that are yours that you've taken, they don't even have to be that high a quality, but people like to see images of you doing things that you're talking about. Then they can relate to it, and also they, I don't know, it gives you just a little more chutzpah or gravitas or whatever when somebody thinks, yep, that person's doing it as well.
It means too that you actually, you actually take the time to do this. Yeah, sure.
And then when you talk about the mistakes, they know we actually do know what they're talking. You know, you actually do know the mistakes.
It's genuine.
Next up is don't apologize for being there. So it seems like every person who has to ever do an accreditation study or something gets up and says, yes, I know you don't want to be here, but here we are. So, you know, it's possible some people are jazzed up, but, you know, maybe you do something else that makes it more interesting. That would help. Don't go past your allotted time. One time I had a guy named Steve Baloney, slightly different name.
He was so phony.
Oh, he was terrible. He just would lecture on and on and on, and he said, I have something so important here, we're going to have to go over into our lunch for 15 minutes. It's like, really? You've been talking for 2 hours already? You think anybody wants to hear that? So those are the don'ts. Shall we go on to the more positive, the do's?
Please, I'm already depressed.
Okay, so do give an overview of what the entire presentation is about, what's going to be covered, so people will know where they are during the presentation. That helps them. Otherwise, they might think you're going on and on and on. Remind people where you are in the presentation as you transition from the beginning to the end. Use real images. We talked about this, of people you know or the audience actually knows that will love you for that. Share stories and stories and stories and lots of photos and videos of your ideas actually in action. Videos are great. You know, 2 or 3 minute short videos are fun. It gives a nice brain break for people. And again, back to that story, we're designed, I think, for stories as humans. So we love that.
Yeah.
Let people move. And so whenever I do a longer presentation, I use something called GoNoodle.com, which is designed for kids. Have you used it? I've used it?
Yes.
I think I've used it with your daughter, and she liked it, where they get up and they do a couple yoga moves for just like 3 to 5 minutes, and it's pretty funny and entertaining. And then when people will sit back down, suddenly they are all jazzed up. They have a different energy level, and they're laughing and giggling, and they think what you're saying is good, even if it isn't.
And that's all that matters.
Have plenty of opportunities to let people share their views, especially in longer ones. Everybody wants to talk. And so, you know, when you're up there talking about something that they're familiar with, it, they want to raise their hand and say, yeah, I did that too at band camp. And really, it was fun. And I'm cool too, not just you. And so give people those opportunities to share what they have going on that might be similar. And lastly, always have a short survey at the very end that lets you. It's designed to let people give you feedback. I use something called the Net Promoter Score, where basically you're asking people, what are the odds based from 0 to 10, or what are the, from 0 to 10, or how likely are you to recommend this presentation to a friend or colleague? And if people are up in the 9 or 10, then they're what's called Net Promoters, where they are out there saying, this person was great. If they're in the 1s or 2s, then they're saying, this person stunk. And if they're in the middle, then they're like, eh, whatever. So it gives you an idea, and you can create a number from that, a score, and it lets you know if you're getting better or you're getting worse, especially if you're doing the same one. And lastly, I always recommend people walk around during presentations, and it gives you an idea of your impact, because if you see everybody on Sports Illustrated or doing email, then you know you're probably kind of boring.
Fair.
That's about it, I think. I don't know. What do you think? What do you got?
Well, I try to do that very little, but you know, every now and then I'm forced to. So I do think, and I've been thinking about this question. What does it look like? You know, I think to the eye, it can look very different depending upon the school.
Sure.
Right? I think there's more than one way to say something that's not politically correct to skin a cat, right? There's more than one way to accomplish the mission. But there are certain, I think, truths, right, that at the core of good PD, you'll be able to see in all the programs. And the first thing is teachers have to have a level of power to choose, right? Even if it's from a limited menu, what specific PD they're going to pursue. When you're introducing a learning management system, let's say, sure, that's something everyone's got to do at some point, but don't make that the one thing that you do again and again and again, right?
Right, yeah.
Teachers will learn when they have the need, when they perceive the need. So give them a little bit, teach them what they need to know today, and be ready to teach them the next time they come back for that next morsel, right?
I know one of the things we did in our PD program was giving people 7 or 8 classes they could take, which seemed to work better.
Right. So then and you could pick the one when you want it, basically, of the 7 or 8, and it worked out quite well, right? Key, though, I think more than anything else, is that the school administration has to realize that tech in at any level is not about the hardware. It's always going to be about the training. That means you got to create the time, you got to create the physical space, the digital space, and you have to provide resources for that learning to take place. Don't throw sure. hardware at people and say, look, we've got computers now. Good luck. Want to see them in your classroom.
Right.
Yeah, you look great on that. You know, yeah, that hat looks great on you. Did you get a free bowl of soup with that? So it could take the form of, you know, this could take the form of time after school in lieu of other very exciting meetings, right? It could mean IT people are there to support you individually. It could mean there are breakout sessions. It could mean, and I really like this, teachers leading teachers, you know, showing them examples of what they do in the classroom. Mm-hmm. But in the end, the focus has to be on the teaching, not the tech. And tech should be seen as little as possible, maybe invisible, supporting the pedagogical practices, making them more efficient and effective. Whatever form on the ground that looks like to the eye, I think they're the core requirements that you want to see in a good PD program.
And hopefully we're moving that direction. I think we are. It's generally less likely that somebody's going to get there and just talk about the tool the whole time and drive everybody crazy.
I hope so, but yeah. It's been decades now, and I keep on hearing the same thing. We bought the laptops, and the kids are playing games. Teachers didn't know how to use them, so dealing with the kids used the laptops, and now they're 4 years old, and we're getting rid of them.
Yeah.
What a failure that was. Well, okay, it was a failure of imagination is what it was. And I think part of the reason may be when it comes to purchasing issues, right, and it goes up to the equivalent of the CFO, whatever that title may be for the given school or district, right? The hardware is what catches the eye. That's the big number,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We're going to have to buy 100 computers, right? If you just say, no, we're going to dedicate significant money to professional development year in, year out, more than tech, especially in a BYOD environment,
mm-hmm.
we're going to just let the teachers know what's out there, give them some options to choose, make some of those things mandatory, because if we're all on the same sheet of music, learning management system, for instance. But otherwise, let them pursue what they know is going to match their teaching style and learning style of their students. You got to do that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's, again, I'm hoping that's becoming more the norm now than it was in the past. I think, well, the expectation is at least is that that should be the norm. Because enough people have hardware and things where it's less about, look at us, we're a great school because we're an iPad school, and hopefully it's more about we're teaching our teachers to use this stuff effectively in the classroom. That would be the
right.
the new thing to brag about, not just the hardware like it used to be.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Because hardware you can see.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was easy to brag about that because you could see it. You know, it's right sure. there. You can't really, it's hard to see PD or the benefits of it.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, there we go.
Yeah. So now we're all in kumbaya agreement. We're like super.
Which we aren't always, but where's Jamie? We need somebody to argue
with. No. Exactly. I feel like our sounding board is now a vacant chair.
Not so sad.
Anyway, that being said, she can still hear us if she wishes to.
That's true.
And where would she go to hear us, Michael?
That's a good point. She'd go to 21clradio.com.
Excellent. Thank you very much and have a pleasant evening.
Thank you.